Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'm happy now to welcome Elena Zachary and Barbara Hatch. They are the actresses in and co-producers of, is that right, the play, is it a play? We're going to get to all this. Lillian and Ethel, which is happening this Sunday, the 10th of June, at Collected Works Bookstore at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Welcome, ladies.
Oh, Mary Charlotte, thanks so much for having us.
It's always a pleasure.
Indeed it is.
And Elena, we've had you on the air many times because you are always doing these two-person shows that are usually readings, sometimes full-blown plays, but this is another reading at Collected Works Bookstore of this play, Lillian and Ethel, A Speculation by Doreen Dunn.
That's exactly its name.
Yeah.
Lillian and Ethel, A Speculation. They tend to find me, these projects. Yeah. I don't go after them.
And this one came to you by way of a friend.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's about Lillian Hellman and Ethel Rosenberg, who I think never actually really met. Is that correct?
We think they actually never met, except in this play.
And so this playwright has done something which ran the risk, I would like to editorially comment, of spectacular failure. Because when you write about great writers, you're usually not as good a writer as they are. But this is, I just saw the rehearsal, a remarkable, fascinating play.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
thank you.
Yeah. We had hoped, and I suspected there was a lot to it. The fact that it's never had a major production. It was a finalist in the Eugene O'Neill competition back east. I think that's in Connecticut. But for so many reasons, the concept is mind-boggling because, of course, these two women were infamous. Lillian was a lot older than Ethel, but they existed at the same time during those remarkable times, the McCarthy hearings, the House Un-American Activities Committee, and of course, Ethel and Julius Rosenberg being condemned to death for spying. The concept of having these two women meet is just phenomenal.
And their personalities are so different.
So completely different, absolutely. Lillian is out there completely bared to the world, and Ethel is much more reserved and a much more private person, and has been thrust into this very non-private, very out there kind of a situation where she is going to be executed. And they meet on the eve of Ethel's execution, and Ethel and her husband Julius, or on the
a couple
brink,
of weeks before, yeah.
On the brink, yeah. Maybe the brink is the better, the better word. And Ethel and Julius, to the very last minute, never actually believed that they would be executed.
Right. And for me, part of the compelling reason to try this out, I've got two reasons. One was I want our audience, our attendees, to have this conversation about these two extraordinary women. And, of course, Ethel Rosenberg is tied very much to this place because it was her brother, David Greenglass, who worked at Los Alamos and spied. And Ethel recruited her brother on behalf of her husband, Julius. We've done so much research, and they're phenomenal books that have been written. As recently, one of my reference materials is a new Lillian Hellman biography that was only written this year. So we've got really fresh information about all of these people. And the fact that Ethel Rosenberg, and through her brother and husband, are so tied to Los Alamos and to Santa Fe and to Albuquerque is one thing. And in fact, Lillian Hellman, who was notorious for taking lovers almost wherever she could find them. I read an anecdote just last week about her being stranded at the Sunport in Albuquerque and meeting someone else who had missed a plane, who was an editor of one of those Forbes-type magazines. They met and had a love affair for years and years and years. That's the kind of woman Lillian was. I think that she took advantage of every opportunity that life presented her.
Dog bless her. And at the same time, as we see in this play, I mean, Lillian Hellman is tough, caustic, and completely unconventional, and has, what did it say in the play, that she has been accused of being a man, or almost a man?
Mm-hmm. She was very unattractive, but here's so many fascinating things about this woman. Again, I've done a lot of research, and I read an account And this was quoting or misquoting, if I will, Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda played in the film Julia, which was written by Alvin Sargent and Lillian Hellman, based upon Lillian Hellman's short story Julia, which is referred to in our play. And Jane talked about Lillian Hellman always sat with her legs apart, but you could see her kind of ruffled panties. But she moved like Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. So she was this amazing dichotomy. She was very sure of herself. And one of the most amazing synchronous events was I happened to send an invitation to an actor friend of mine, Ken Tiger, who doesn't live in our area. And when he wrote back that he couldn't attend our reading on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Collected Works, he reminded me that he had known her at Harvard and wrote me a letter in some great detail about her. And I only want to quote, if I might, the last sentence because it struck Barbara and I so amazing. And so this information is about 2 weeks old, Mary Shaw. That's how fresh this is. So Ken says, I expect that she, meaning Lillian, was the total opposite of Ethel Rosenberg in almost every way, except one. They both drew strength from the knowledge that they were right politically. One triumphed and one was victimized. But they were both towers of virtue on that point.
Very interesting. The personality of Ethel Rosenberg, in beautiful contrast, and it makes for the drama in this fairly short play. What is it, about an hour long?
About an hour.
Yeah,
yes.
Just short of an hour.
Mm-hmm. She's just the opposite. She's conventional. She's soft-spoken. She's a little bit prudish. Mm-hmm. She sort of giggles nervously when she hears a swear word or is even shocked when she hears a swear word.
Right.
And yet there comes out in this play as they start talking to each other this strength and conviction that you don't see on the surface.
Exactly. And this really gives her a chance to come out, and in a way it's Ethel's chance to say the things that she didn't necessarily ever say on the stand, because on the stand she was consistently taking the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
They were adamant, both she and Julius, during their trial to not say too much, which was to a certain extent what brought them down.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
this
taking
is,
the fifth
taking
is
the
basically
fifth
you're getting is, and I'm guilty. And I'm guilty.
Exactly. And everybody kind of looked at her and said, she's so arrogant. She's so separate from all of this. And it wasn't really true. She just, whether it was by her attorney or by her husband or whatever, that was the decision that was made. I will take the Fifth Amendment on everything. And my actions will speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And there were no real actions. The main action that was really their sticking point was that she had apparently taken notes during some meeting and was observed taking notes, but they don't know what the notes were. And ultimately it turned out that she really was not guilty of most of or any of the things that she was accused mm-hmm. of. And that came out many, many, many years after her death. And they had doubts even during the trials. But it seemed as though it was kind of a a roller coaster. They could not stop the machine from right. going forward.
Well, we also know that it was Hoover's intention to use her as bait.
Exactly.
And she didn't cave, and neither did Julius.
Yeah.
And Ethel, as opposed to Lillian, Ethel was a woman of her times.
Mm-hmm.
She was the quintessential
1950s housewife.
Yeah. When you see pictures of her in her day dresses, she has, you know, and that was the era that there were dresses made to wear around the house, specifically called
right.
day dresses or house dresses, one of which Barbara's going to be wearing in our performance on Sunday. But she was a lady. She wore gloves. She had hats.
Her hair was always
her place.
She
represented that idea of that 50s woman who was a mother and a wife. She was not an individual. She played these roles, and even unto her death.
And she loved and supported her husband unto her
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that they had a very, very passionate relationship as well that you wouldn't have suspected on the surface, but they had this incredibly deep passionate love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the separation of them being in prison for those 3 years that they were not allowed to see each other very much was unbearable to both of them. And so you kind of feel this roiling passion in her that you don't that's under the surface that she'd never allowed
right.
to come out in public because she was the proper.
Right. Wouldn't have been appropriate.
And it wouldn't have been appropriate.
And part of the wonderful conceit, the imagination of Doreen Dunn's play, Lillian is a provocateur. Mm. She goads Ethel. And Ethel finds out just how strong a person she is. We don't want to give away the secrets because both women are transformed by this coming together. And the audience will bear witness because we all know what happened to each of these women in the end. But part of the fun is to see, had they met, it's very likely that such an encounter would have been just as Doreen describes it, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We're talking to Elena Zachary and Barbara Hatch about the play Lillian and Ethel, A Speculation. Now, let's just talk about this for a second. Can we say for sure that Ethel Rosenberg was innocent? Is that what you have come to?
Well, what we know is that when the Soviet Union, broke apart and those documents got released, there was no provable evidence that Ethel had ever done any actual spying. Did she assist her husband? Yes.
Yes.
Did she take notes? Yes. Was
yes.
she communist? Yes.
Yes.
Did she organize? Yes. Did she recruit her brother at Julius's behest? Yes. But she, in fact, did no literal spying that can be proven.
Yeah.
And that's what she was accused of, and that's what she was executed for.
But she felt
spying.
The truth would out. And Lillian said, well, it's funny because the kernel of the play is what is truth? What is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds heavy-handed, but it's not in mm-hmm. the context of the play. But certainly we explore what is Ethel's truth and what Lillian's
truths are.
Uh-huh.
Well, and the beauty of Lillian's truth as it comes out in the play is that fiction is often truer than
the truth.
Documentary
right.
or
right. And to our listeners that know something about what Lillian Hellman had been accused of, there was a very famous interview with Mary McCarthy on the Dick Cavett Show, where Mary McCarthy accused Lillian of lying about everything, and I can't even quote it, but it was something like she never spoke, there was never a sincere word, including a and the. And even at Lillian's death, there was a defamation lawsuit which never got handled. So that Lillian had been accused of, and we even see it in the play, of writing other people's stories, writing stories even in her memoirs that were not necessarily true. There's a statement that I've put into the program from Pentimento that Lillian talks about what her truth and what is memory and what is truth. And it's dealt with quite a bit in the play. And of course, the marvelous irony is Ethel holds fast to the belief that truth will out. And Lillian says, there is no that truth. It depends, it's one way this day, and it's all layered by our speculations and our denials and our fears, so there is no empirical truth.
Now, this play, as you're doing it, you're doing it as a reading. I mean, the two of you have your books in hand.
Right.
Yes.
But you're also dressing up, and, you've got a house dress on.
And a wig. And
right. As
gloves.
Ethel Rosenberg. Exactly.
Exactly.
And Elena, I swear to God, we're recording this. This is a pre-record. I'm doing it right after the dress rehearsal, which happened a few days before you out in Radioland are hearing this. I couldn't even recognize you when I came into the room.
Yay!
And then when you started doing the rehearsal, you sounded like a smoker. It's like, this is a good actress who doesn't smoke who makes herself sound
Thank
like a
you.
Smoker.
Yeah.
But it's like a reading that's sort of halfway to being a performed play, essentially.
Right. Yeah. So we haven't memorized it. But what the series that I've created at Collected Works has been readings, but we try to realize them as fully as possible because that's the fun for the audience.
Exactly. To kind of start to get an idea of these characters, not just as characters, but as real women,
people. Yeah.
real people,
uh-huh.
And for us to inhabit these people, and bring them to there is no footage of Ethel Rosenberg live. I have looked. There are just still photographs. So everything that I am imagining and creating of her is. Just from pictures and from the way she carries herself and the poses that she's taken and the way she's described. Mm-hmm. And Lillian also...
It's the same is true.
Same is very true.
No video.
No.
Lots of, I could find no video, no YouTubes, no nothing. But there are tremendous amounts of... There is a lot of information describing her demeanor
from
my research. And how she spoke and how she carried herself. And I do remember seeing her in some of these talk shows. So
and they're probably,
I had a kernel of my memory of her seeing her as a very young person.
And what's interesting is just about everybody who describes Lillian Hellman, who has encountered her, says something to the effect that I was scared of her. Mm-hmm. She's not a warm and fuzzy person.
No,
she's hard and chiseled, and but at the same time, as Elena has said, she's got this incredibly generous spirit, and she was brilliant. She was a genius,
but only if she likes you.
That's exactly right.
She
held everybody to accounts. She would be terribly generous lending you money, but in her account book, she knew exactly, you know, how much she owed you. I was going to refer back to something Barbara just said. My friend Ken Tiger, who spent time with her when she was working on her memoirs, they'd been given to Harvard College, to the Houghton Library, and so she was working on them in the 60s, which is about the time I met Ken. And this is a formidable gentleman, may I say. And Ken writes, "We spoke on the walks, and while I remember almost none of the content, I remember clearly that I was more afraid of her than anyone else I have ever met." And you hear that consistently. Barbara, you also tell, doesn't your fiancé have a friend that played Scrabble with her on Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah, at the age of 14, played Scrabble with mm-hmm. Lillian Hellman.
Yeah.
And he remembers very specifically that he was very scared of her. And what I think what's wonderful about this encounter between these two women is that I feel that somehow they create sort of this grudging trust and liking for each other by the end. I feel
right.
that Lillian Hellman could have liked Ethel on some level.
I'm sitting here grinning because I'm going, Lillian's thinking material. And
right.
that's exactly, you know, what we see in the play.
Would we have been friends?
And Lillian says, no, don't think so.
But I think also that that's one of her lies, because Lillian Hellman apparently could never tell the truth.
Well, of course, we are guessing. We're layering these women
right.
with our own beliefs that... one of the things that Lillian says, I should have lived your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, Lillian led an awesome life, but it was not as dramatic.
Right.
But when Lillian says that, what she means is I would have really made something of it.
You know, exactly.
I would have made
you
something
blew
of this.
It,
and
baby.
You blew it by taking the fifth
right.
and taking the fifth. You know, that even though you do apparently have spine and backbone, you showed none of it when it mattered.
Exactly.
You know?
Whereas Lillian, and comes out in the play too, when put before the Senate committee and told to rat on her friends.
Could not do that. So in some ways, we don't want to give that away. That's one of the nuggets.
It's a great line. Ladies and
gentlemen.
What's
also true is that and you just bring it to mind, Mary Charlotte, that Lillian could not rat her friends out either. So mm-hmm. now that we see, there's this kind of a historical parallel that mm-hmm. neither one of them could do that.
Exactly.
But they were both telling their truths, and that's what, you know, that is the foundation of this play. They both held fast to their own truths. That's right.
Exactly.
Now, you are performing this reading at Collected Works on Sunday at 3:00.
Yes.
And you are asking not only for people to come and see it and enjoy it, but also to give feedback.
Oh, we want. It's almost as if I wanted to put this event on more, well, as much for feedback as, of course, the pleasure of the performance, because we want to hear what people feel about the piece in itself. You know, is it viable? Is it dramatic enough to mount it in a theater? And also, let's talk about Ethel Rosenberg, and let's talk about Lillian Hellman in
right.
the eyes of 2012.
Yes.
Right, and this whole there's a line where Ethel says you have to basically choose whether you're going to be a family person or have a place in history
as a woman.
And I often think that hasn't really changed.
That's
much.
Right.
Really
Some of that
hasn't.
Is still true.
Yep.
You know, doesn't Lillian says something about how we're telling jokes right mm-hmm. in the play? You can't, if you tell a joke, a man thinks you're weak. You know,
right.
and if you
or
got
it's
all,
weakness,
and if,
you,
and if all
jokes.
The women yes. got together and spoke as one voice, they would still be weak.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, she's speaking in the context of 1952,
right.
so we have to. But it's true to its time, and not too
but
much.
But it still
has changed.
Resonates today.
Yeah,
I mean,
strong women, you know, will have certain adjectives thrust upon them if they appear to be strong and confident.
Well, and I can't remember who it was, but some feminist writer said. I'm waiting for the moment when a man says that he's choosing between career and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The play is called Lillian and Ethel, A Speculation. It's by Doreen Dunn, and it's being performed by Elena Zachary and Barbara Hatch this Sunday at 3 in the afternoon at Collected Works Bookstore, which is on Galisteo Street, right on the corner of Water. A wonderful bookstore, a wonderful place to do all sorts of performances, as well as have a cup of coffee and things like that.
Yes. Great.
Thank you so much for being on the air with
thank
us.
Thank you
so much,
Mary Charlotte,
for having us. It's a wonderful story.
And I'd like to welcome Ben Swan. He's with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Mary Charlotte. Thanks for having me by. I appreciate it.
Now, we're going to see you next week, but we just wanted to sneak in a quickie right now to talk about what's happening. It's the first anniversary of the All Fur Friends.
It's our pet adoption center at 2570 Camino in Toronto.
Which is next to Outback Steakhouse.
Which is right next to Kohl's, which is our complex that has the adoption, the one-stop adoption center, which is All Fur Friends, our low-cost clinic, and our resale store.
Resale store is good.
Look what the cat dragged in.
Yep.
And I don't want to tell you exactly what we're having, but we're having really special discounts at the store.
Okay.
So it's going to be just a big bash. We're going to have all kinds of fun things at all three stores. And the All for Friends, the one-stop pet adoption center, will have discounted adoptions, we'll have food, we'll have games, we'll have our mobile van there, we'll have more animals. And these are great animals. And then the clinic will have awesome discounted half-price vaccinations, half-price microchipping, half-price heartworm testing, free ID tags, all kinds of fun stuff. Because people, you know, we want people to get to know about it. In our resale store, look what the cat dragged in, we'll have these special, like, just really incredible deals for people, just to draw people in.
Excellent. And this is good stuff.
It's going to be good.
11 to 3 this coming Saturday. And
that's the vaccination clinic. The celebration itself runs 10 to 6.
Oh, it's 10 to 6. It's really all day on Saturday.
All day Saturday. And it continues on Sunday at All for Friends, the celebration itself, and the special discounted things at the store. The clinic will be closed on Sunday, but Saturday is going to be the big day. And just if you haven't been there, it's a great place. It's awesome animals, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
2570 Camino Entrada, right near Kohl's and Outback Steakhouse, and wonderful place, good friends, good animals. Ben Swan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Appreciate it.
SFHumaneSociety.org. And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is the director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us here many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte, and good morning, Santa Fe.
Good morning.
So I want to start by saying if you like history and horses, you're going to love this reenactment of the Pony Express. A whole group of folks on horseback left Hobbs and made the 365-mile trip up to Santa Fe. But because of traffic, they're going to be trucking the horses in to the city. Yeah, exactly. I think when the Pony Express was our primary way of communicating and getting mail and messages back and forth around the country, they didn't have to worry about interstates and cars, you know, slamming along at 85 miles an hour. But now they do. So at about 11, they're going to end up at the Scottish Rites Temple, and they're going to untruck their horses, climb on, and they will be riding into the plaza to deliver a mailbag to the Postmaster General at noon. So that should be, if anyone likes it, reenactments, that should be a pretty cool one in the middle of the day for not only the tourists, but the folks who live here.
Yes, that's cool.
Yes.
Can I just say that we have a featured cat of the week?
No kidding.
And the
did you get that? No kidding.
Ooh.
Sorry. Go
no
ahead.
Kitten. A cat. Oh. I'm dying.
All right, I'm done with my puns.
Puns are the lowest form of humor.
Oh, well, for those of us who have no other sense of humor, it's as high as we go.
And limericks are the lowest form of poetry, and they're my two favorites.
Thank you. I'm so relieved because I love limericks.
So this week's cat is Janie, and she's a little shy, and she would prefer a quiet home with another mellow cat and no small children. She's a beautiful girl with a short black coat and yellow eyes. And if you would like to adopt Janie, please call 316-2281. That's in 505. Or you can go to fnfnm.org. It's Felines and Friends, New Mexico.
And if you have small children and you really want this kitten, drop your children off at my office because I love
forever
small
after
children.
Yes, no, indeed. If you want a cat and you have small children, then call Felines and Friends because they've got a different cat which is right for you.
Right. That's a good way to look at it. So Heidi Lowen Porcelain
Gallery. That's just the one I was looking at.
Hey, who's over there at the corner of Johnson Street and Guadalupe, has carved porcelain that is in an exhibition that's going to open today, and there's a reception from 5 to 7. Heidi Lowen is a wonderful local craftsperson,
wonderful.
And she does beautiful, beautiful porcelain work.
Are you going to say what they're called?
Go ahead.
Seductive stilettos.
That's right. And she also calls them spring shoes.
Spring shoes, indeed.
Yes,
if
indeed.
If you could get your feet into one of these, you're a better man than I.
Well, if a man can get his feet into those, he's ultra cool.
They're super pointy and very nice looking.
Super pointy. So Philly comes to Santa Fe. The Lou Allen Galleries at the Rail Yard, which is right there on Paseo de Peralta, is bringing an opening tonight, two exhibitions by two artists from Philadelphia. And being from Philadelphia, I think this is really special. But even if I wasn't from Philadelphia, there are two beautiful exhibitions. There are really gorgeous paintings by a serious painter named Diane Burko called Water Paintings, Water Matters, that are definitely worth looking at. And there's work called Still Movies. They're photographs by Richard Ryan. And what he does is he makes short animated videos of his photographs. And it's mostly done on a computer. But some of them are really beautiful. And for those of us who know Philadelphia, because some of them are not still lives or images of butterflies or flowers, they're images of Philadelphia. And it's extraordinary.
Fine Arts for Children and Teens, also known as FACT, is having its fifth annual FACT Instructor Art Exhibit at El Museo Cultural in the Rail Yard. It's tomorrow, June 9th, from 9 to 12, and there's free coffee, tea, and muffins, and lots of terrific artists. For more information, factsantafe.org.
Waxlander Gallery has a really interesting exhibition of three artists that work in pastels, and the title of it is Not Your Mother's Pastels. So there are some hyper-realist images. It's really a lovely exhibition that's worth seeing up on Canyon Road, and that opens tonight. I'm the one who's, you know, driven by order and linear thinking.
You are?
Yes, I go through this Friday and then Saturday
and
then Sunday.
I don't believe you.
I'm not a linear thinker, but I think this is kind to our listeners to know what's happening today so they can put that together.
That linear thing that you do so well.
So in concert, there's a performance called Pillars and Tongues, which is a gothic trance band and an extra Madura black iron trio, and that opens at High Mayhem. High Mayhem's studio is right up there off of Siler Road, and High Mayhem has been bringing really innovative small music presentations for many years. They rarely get the attention that they deserve. So for those of you who like new music and like some really interesting, often electronic stuff, it's a good place to go. The other thing that's happening, and there's much, the Santa Fe Marimba Festival.
I was just going to say, Victor Mendoza tonight at the Lenzic.
Yes, absolutely.
I am so going.
It's a festival that goes tonight and Saturday at the Lenzic. World music and Latin jazz with Victor Mendoza tonight. And on Saturday, we're going to talk about that as well. But let me tell you, it's called Wood That Sings, and it's music from the Silk Road to Bach. This is a festival that seems unlikely, but it is extraordinary.
I know.
And so anyone who likes music, and certainly anyone who likes that soft, mellow harmony of marimba should definitely head to the Lenzic tonight and tomorrow.
Soft, medium, and hard.
Soft, medium, and hard. Whatever you like, we've got marimba sounds for you.
The thing about marimba, we did a very brief interview on it, is that there are marimbas all over the world.
I was just going to say that.
In every tradition, and they're kind of giving you a little bit of each thing.
Yes.
And it's so powerful. This marimba festival is a really big deal. I know some people who came down from Colorado for it.
And I know some people who are actually coming in from New York for it.
And no, really?
Yes. And the thing that's so wonderful about it is, you know, as a kid, you pick up a piece of wood and you just sort of tap it. And wood on wood is the most remarkable sound.
Yeah.
And what you said is exactly what I was going to address, and that's that it's so logical that you have it in almost every culture in the world, and they're bringing a lot of world music to Santa Fe, so I recommend it. To that, The Thirsty Ear Festival is running at the same time. And Thirsty Ear goes from Friday night all the way through Sunday. And they're bringing singer-songwriter Kate Mann and Mary Gauthier and a honky-tonk rock band called Boom Dust Caravan. This is all going on at Soul Santa Fe Staging Grill, another new venue that has added phenomenally to the richness of the music offerings in Santa Fe. So that's over there at 37 Fire Place. I recommend that you see if you can figure out time to go to both.
Fire Place, which is right down south of Santa Fe, just south of the highway.
Yes.
Off of Cerritos Road.
Yes, exactly.
Or Route 14, as I think it comes to be called.
And the other thing that's going on that's Friday and Saturday is the Zook Fest. And Zook Fest is Elliot Grasso, Sean McElwain, and Roger Landis, which is a Celtic trio. They're not basketball players. They're not Celtics. They're Celtic. And they're going to be performing at Gig Performance Space. So Gig is, which is down on 2nd Street, Gig is bringing the Zook Fest, and it will be both Friday and Saturday night. So much music, so much exciting stuff going on.
Can I say some nonlinear?
Sure, I'll let you.
You'll let me?
Just once.
Oh, no, I can't.
All right, well, I'm going to keep talking then.
my page went away.
Axel Contemporary is opening a wonderful new exhibition called Performance Art by Greta Young. It's Art in the Dark Van. Axel Contemporary will be parked at the Santa Fe Farmers Market today and tomorrow. And I definitely recommend that you stop by to see the work. The two artists that have developed the Axel Contemporary have developed a mobile art gallery, and it moves around town. They have done remarkable work with artists both from Santa Fe and elsewhere, and we want to send a We Love You out to Jerry and Matthew. And the last thing that I want to mention is the Wheelwright Museum has an exhibition that is extraordinary. It's work from the collection of Mary Calbett Wheelwright, and it's the 75th anniversary show. Definitely worth going to see. It's up there on Museum Hill, just down from the International, the Museum of International Folk Art.
Yeah. New Mexico CultureNet presents a movable feast of poetry with Santa Fe Poet Laureate John Logie, Michael Holland, Manuel Gonzalez, Tracy Dahl, Carmelita Jaramillo, and Danny Solis, and poets from Santa Fe High School and Los Alamos High. And that's Sunday. Poetry reading begins at 5.
It's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser to support poetry in the schools.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's, and I was going to get to that one on Sunday, but we've leaped ahead. No,
I'm
this is really good, and I can sort of fill in with you and help you with some of the facts. There is so much music to listen to.
But wait a minute. We didn't say where it was.
Oh, go ahead.
It's at Santa Fe Community Foundation Hub at 501 Holana Street, wherever that is.
It's right at the corner of Holana and Paseo de Peralta.
Why have I lived here for multiple decades and I've never heard of Holana?
Well, it's a tiny little side street. All it's right. Just before you head up to Acequia Madre.
NMCN.org.
There you are. So nightlife music, Cowgirls got Steve Itterly old-time music, El Farol's got Latin groove with Nostromos, Nosotros, La Posada has Nacha Mendez,
yay.
Pizzeria Dalino has guitar music with Michael Tafoya, Pranzo's got pianist David Geist. There's just great stuff to be listening to. Santa Fe 2nd Street Brewery's got acoustic blues. Tonight, you can hear all kinds of music. And then tomorrow, do you want to say anything for tonight?
No, because my brain doesn't go in lines.
Well, if you're looking at my notes, it does. It's pretty easy.
I'm not looking at your notes.
Saturday, Zookfest continues with Nick O'Brien and Moira Smiley. I figured when I change my name, I'm going to be Moira Smiley. I like that. It feels
nice.
Like a happy name. And the other thing that I want to talk about on Saturday, besides the continuation of the Santa Fe Marimba Festival, the continuation of the Thirsty Ear Festival, is that the Lannan Foundation is only open on Saturday to the public. And Christy Mazuera-Davis has pulled together works from the Lannan Foundation in a beautifully serene very important exhibition called Transparent. It's worth, if you've never been over to the Lanham Foundation building at 313 Reed Street, it's worth going over just to see the inside of the building, but the work is gorgeous.
Okay, good to know. And it's a beautiful building. It's a very peaceful space.
Yes, you've got a handsome pair of Fred Sandbach paintings. You've got Morris Lewis. It's an extraordinary exhibition of great work of the 20th century.
I found my window.
Oh, go.
Sunday, June 10th, at Collected Works Bookstore at 3 o'clock. As we heard earlier, Ethel and Lillian, a play by Doreen Dunn, with Elena Zachary and Barbara Hatch, and it's a reading of a play, but it's kind of semi-staged. It's not really staged, but they're moving around and they're in costume. It's wonderful. Oh my God. Monday.
Do you want to tell everybody who Ethel and who the characters
Lillian
are?
Hellman Lillian and Ethel Rosenberg.
Perfect. Thanks.
Monday, June 11th at 6 o'clock at Collected Works, Gretchen Reynolds will be reading from her new and acclaimed bestseller book, The First 20 Minutes, Surprising Science Reveals How We Can Exercise Better, Train Smarter, and Live Longer. And Gretchen Reynolds is terrific. We had her on the show like a week ago, I think, a little early. But anyway, that's definitely worth going to and checking out. Tuesday, June 12th at Collected Works, Benjamin Bush reading from his memoir, Dust to Dust. And I'm reading this book right now. I'm trying to get him on the air next week. He is an actor who was in my favorite TV show of all time, The Wire.
Yes.
And he's written a very interesting book. And
he's not only an actor, but he's one of those people who I always find difficult to decipher. He's someone who volunteered to go into the Marine Corps.
I know.
After Vietnam, and a strange combination of actor and writer and real to the bone soldier.
Well, I mean, it's an interest. One of the things that's so interesting about the book is his parents were both Vietnam War protesters and artistic and very gentle people. And they wouldn't let him play with guns. And he was born a warrior.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And he was building forts and using little sticks as guns. And finally, they just had to succumb to the fact that they had given birth to.
He was one of those people who, instead of knocking wood to wood and hearing music, he heard explosions.
Exactly.
Okay, so moving along.
Wait. Wednesday, June 13th, The Collected Works, Alex Dryden reading from his new book, The Blind Spy. It's an international thriller. In this book, the Kremlin threatens to invade Ukraine and so on. And should be fun, and it's always good to
should
get
be fun. We love
not
invasions.
The, not the invasion, the book. If you can get it done in a book, then you don't have to do it in real life.
I hope so. On Sunday, in concert, is the Santa Fe Women's Ensemble. And this is their 31st year. And they are going strong. In fact, it's their spring offering. It's performed at the First Presbyterian Church over there on Grant Avenue at 3 p.m. on Sunday. That should be a glorious sound. And I recommend it. They've been getting national acclaim. And you know, it's another one of those organizations that does really powerful cultural and arts in Santa Fe, and we don't tend to give them as much attention as they might absolutely deserve. So I'm going to leap over, talking about Lillian and Ethel again, and say that the 17th annual Santa Fe Botanical Garden tours are on Sunday, and they're from 1 to 4. It's called Solitude and Perfection. You can contact the Botanical Garden at 988-1234. Isn't that a nice number?
It is indeed.
And you can also get tickets. It's a self-guided tour, so you get a ticket, and you'll meet the various people who planted the garden and be able to talk with them. Another nice thing to do on a Sunday afternoon.
And the CCA, did you mention this already? Arrhythmic Visions is an exhibition. Did you say that already?
I didn't.
That is closing on Saturday, so Friday and Saturday from 12 to 5 are your last chances to see sculptures and drawings by artists Jamie Hamilton and Allison Keough.
Yes, we've talked about the exhibition a couple of times,
but
on the radio.
It's nice to have to
a
mention the
event.
Closing.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes it just closes without a bang, and then you forgot to go. And then all week, collect 10 from 12 to 8 in the Spectre Rips project space at the CCA is an exhibition featuring 10 by 10 by 10 artworks made by dozens of local artists.
And it's also, if I'm not mistaken, a fundraiser for CCA.
Excellent.
The Santa Fe Living Treasures Ceremony is really wonderful. It's going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation Church on Sunday at 2 p.m. It's open to the public, and they're honoring Stanley and Rose, Rosemary Crawford, Jillian Weffy McHugh, and Virginia Soto, three groups, four people, who have made major contributions to Santa Fe and our well-being. So let's move on to Monday. I want to remind everybody that the Nancy Holt Sightlines exhibition at the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is an exhibition of Nancy Holt's early work, is open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and really is a remarkably beautiful archival exhibition that is going to be open until June 29th. So if people have some time, I definitely recommend it.
Good to know another that it's ongoing.
Yeah, another thing that's happening on Monday, the Santa Fe Clay is beginning their summer workshop program, and Diego Romero, who is a wonderfully talented ceramicist that uses native imagery and contemporary imagery and melds them, is going to be running his workshop Monday through Friday. And on Wednesday, he's giving a talk about his work. Really interesting possibilities, so I recommend it highly. Call Santa Fe Clay at 984-1122. Another good phone number.
African art and music live in Santa Fe, Tunde Odunlade with Aga Lu, performing authentic Nigerian rhythms of West Africa, and an exhibition of Nigerian prints and textiles and African small chop. Small chop means appetizers.
That's right.
From 6 to 10 today at Story Studio. There's a reasonable admission charge. It's at 5030 Agua Fria Park Road. For more information, 986-9143.
Cool. Moving on to Tuesday. In concert is James McMurtry. James McMurtry is an Americana singer-songwriter at Santa Fe Soul Staging Grill out down there on Fire at 37 Fireplace. That's 7:30 at night. You can get tickets through ticketsantafe.org, or you can probably get tickets if you call on the phone.
And for those of our listeners up in Taos, on Sunday, June 10th, Art of Flying will be bringing to the Taos Ale House. I'm still pre-caffeinated here. The band A Hawk and a Hacksaw, and they're just returning from a tour of Greece, Turkey, and Poland. They're an Albuquerque-based duo and making their first appearance ever in Taos. And they are amazing. They're really, really crazy good. I've seen them get a group of teenagers dancing like
Absolutely. Nobody's
business.
And adults along with them.
And so that's on
Sunday, I think.
Sunday.
I think so. That I've got that listed under
Yeah, Sunday, June 10th.
Yeah. On Wednesday the 13th, we are beginning the great summer festival season up at St. John's College with Music on the Hill. And so the seventh season will begin, and it's definitely one of those sweet things that St. John's College has done for many years.
There's in collaboration with KSFR.
Exactly, in collaboration with KSFR, and the food is usually done by Walter Burke. You can get dinner, you can sit out on the green, you can listen to this wonderful music under the stars. Parking's a problem, and I think you can pick up a shuttle from a variety of locations, but I recommend that you call 984-6199 for the exact information. The other thing that's going on Wednesday is a musical performance, an electronic music duo called Yacht, which is at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill, and they are not only really interesting and very smart, but they're incredibly funny. And so it's this young couple who lived in Marfa and moved to Portland, and they've sort of been making the rounds of places to build their music, and they're wonderful.
And they're called Yacht?
They're called Yacht.
Like
Y-A-C-H-T,
a big boat?
Like a big boat, exactly. And Yacht, when I was a kid and we used to play Yahtzee, Yacht was my favorite word because no one could ever figure it out.
I need to tell people that on Tuesday morning, write this in your calendar, from 9 to 10:30, there is a free workshop called Why Cactus? And it's by cactus collector John Oberhausen, also known as Obi Oberhausen. And it's the Rail Yard Park Community Room near the Site Santa Fe parking lot. For more information, you can go to railyardpark.org or call 316-3596. Obi is a cactus collector. He is obsessed in a good
prickly.
Way.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
With cactuses and propagates cactuses and plants an all cactus garden, which needs virtually no extra care or water, very little. And so I'm going to have him on the air on Tuesday morning, but it's going to be right before the event. So
To talk cactus.
I like that. But I'm telling you now so you can put it in your calendar so you don't get surprised on Tuesday morning and can't get out of the house in time.
Got it. So Thursday evening is the KSFR Music Cafe. It's a series of jazz performances that's going to continue up there on Museum Hill at the Museum Hill Cafe, which is a wonderful venue for jazz, for music, for performance of any sort. And it's going to be pianist-composer Bob Fox. It's going to be Michael Glynn on bass and John Trenacosta on drums. They have really been selling out. It's an incredibly lovely evening. You can get dinner, listen to the music, but please chew quietly.
Please chew quietly, ladies and gentlemen. There is stuff going on in Penasco. The Penasco Theater presents Button Wagon by Ember and Polky. It's a circus theater performance of mixed-up proportions and mind-bending contortions with Ember Bria, a button addict, cowboy boot-wearing contortionist, and her quirky counterpart, Matt Polky Corkle, a master of balance and object illusion. I'm not making this up because I couldn't. It's tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2:30. And there's a little lower prices on Sunday, and kids 12 and under are free. So check out, just Google Button Wagon Penasco and you'll find it.
Excellent. I want to mention that on Thursday there's Jazz and Blues Under the Stars, and it's the New Mexico Jazz Workshop Summer Festival that's going to begin, and it's at the Albuquerque Museum Amphitheater, while we're talking about things that are out of town. It's really wonderful. It's definitely worth going to. Another thing that's out of town, the exhibition we've talked about many times, it's the Agnes Martin exhibition up at the Harwood Museum in Taos.
Remarkable woman. Yes,
Agnes Martin, Before the Grid, and Agnes Martin Works on Paper. The early work of Agnes Martin closes on the 17th of June.
Ah.
And I would recommend highly that anyone who hasn't seen that show, that has any interest in art, make your way up to Taos, go up to the Harwood Museum and check it out. And two things for little guys. There's going to be a marimba workshop, which is a free class in conjunction with the Santa Fe Marimba Festival, that's at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Excellent.
That's tomorrow, June 9th, at the St. Francis Auditorium. And just as you know that kids like to bang things together, take your kid, let them learn something about marimbas. And the other is a family fun day called Pots and Points. The idea is to make pinch and coil pots with Ronnie Rohr and to watch flint knapper Bruce Huckle demonstrate how stone tools are made. And that's at the New Mexico Museum of Art on Sunday, June 10th, 10 to 1.
Two nonprofits, the Santa Fe Time Bank and the Friendship Club, are holding their third annual joint yard sale to benefit both organizations on June 9th and 10th, I guess that's tomorrow and Sunday, at the Friendship Club at 1915 Rosina Street, and they'll still be accepting donations to the yard sale today. And Far-Flung Places, the photography of Barbara Sparks, that's tomorrow from 4 to 6, Artist Talk at 5 at the Photo Eye Bookstore, and that's at 370 Garcia Street in Santa Fe. The number is 988-5152. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, salsa at the Lodge every Friday night. You can
Absolutely.
Go up to the Lodge and dance salsa. And hey, maybe after the Marimba Festival, you'll be so inspired, or the African music, you'll be so inspired that you just have to get up there after 9 o'clock and you can dance. And DJ Leo plays all kinds of good salsa and merengue and bachata and cumbia and all those good things.
And they're dance forms that you can pick up. You don't have to know bachata and cumbia and salsa. You can just go up there and sort of let the music help you along.
Although I have to say, of all the things that I've studied, salsa is the most like rocket science.
Well, but you
including
dance...
Including rocket science.
You dance...
Which admittedly I haven't studied.
You dance salsa seriously. But for those of us who are duffers, it is amazing how the music sort of brings you along, and if you don't get it right, at least you start getting it.
Diane Karp is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. They are on the web at sfai.org, and we are speaking of the arts every Friday. If I didn't read your listing, I am so sorry. We just can't do it all. I tried the best I can. It's all in the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, which has a very beautiful cover this week, by the way. And thank you so much for being with us, and we will see you soon.
It was a pleasure. Everyone have a fabulous week.
And I won't be here a week from today, unfortunately. Have to go out of town, unfortunately, on family, a little bit of family business, but I will be back the next week for the whole summer. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Bye.
Ciao.